Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America.
Why did you go to Georgia to help Senator Warnock?
I'm going to Georgia today to help Senator Warnock. Not to Georgia. I'm going to help Senator Warnock today. I'm doing a major fundraiser up in Boston.
Thank you, sir.
Today for our next and continued Senate candidate, Senator.
This has been the President of the United States of America. May God have mercy on our souls.
Stu Does America.
It's almost Christmas time. Go to StuDoesMerch.com. Get every present you could possibly want. We're in a merch battle right now against a bunch of shows around here. So use the code STU20. Save 20% off everything here at The Blaze. If you're watching on YouTube, like this video right now. Subscribe to the channel. Click the bell. Do all the things. Chad Prather is here with a big announcement about this Friday's Power Hour. Yes, we're only days away. StuDoesPowerHour.com. Get all the details. One of the left's favorite people is heading to prison. But we start by doing the gaslighting of Georgia. You know, I think whenever I think about gaslighting, I'm reminded that I don't really fully understand it. Every time the word gaslighting comes up, I have this conversation about the five different definitions that seem to exist of this word. But like, you kind of get this generalized sense, to take it out of the original meaning for a second and how it applies to politics. It's when one side of the argument sort of says something they know is going to infuriate the other side, make them question reality. Wait a minute, did I remember that right? It's going to just insert a little chaos and get your enemies all fired up in the middle of a big political debate. And that seems to be what's happening in Georgia. Now, of course, you might know, tomorrow is a very big day in Georgia. Georgia had a bit of an issue with its runoff elections in 2020 that you might remember, handing control of the Senate over to the Democrats and handing multiple trillions of dollars. If you want to know the most direct reason why we are having all of this inflation right now, well, you can look back to those January elections in Georgia, because if they went the other way, just one of them went the other way, this would not be nearly as big of a problem as we are unfortunately dealing with. They spent trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And you know what? They're going to try to do it again. Now, a lot of times, just the president tries to do it by himself. You just heard him with his incredible coherence when it comes to the Georgia elections. He's about that coherent on the student loan issue as well. But generally speaking, you need to have the House and the Senate. Now, the House has already gone to Republicans. That's a good thing. They can block the worst stuff from the Democratic side, and that's going to be a real positive. We went back and looked at, we talked to you, I think, a couple of weeks ago. There's, I think, 19 races that were undecided, all the really razor-thin ones, and we ranked them A, B, C, D, and F, and said, look, I think the Republicans will win the A's and the B's, probably the C's as well, the D's, maybe not, the F's, probably not. I went back through that today. They won all the A's, all the B's, and all the C's, all the easiest wins for them to get. And I think they won two between the D's and the F's. So that little scale was 17 of 19 of those razor-thin races, which we're happy about as far as the control of the House goes. But, you know, look, the House only does so much. The Senate is really important. And why is the Herschel Walker thing so important? Because you might say, well, control is, it's already 50 seats for the Democrats. What does it matter, really, if Herschel Walker is to win or not? Well, remember, Walker is going to, you're going to have a starting point at each election. This past election was a big advantage. You've heard me rail about this a million times, but there was a big advantage for the Democrats. It was 36-29 at the starting gate because they had more seats that were in off election years. In 2024, the reverse is going to happen. However, this seat in Georgia is going to be locked in for two more elections. So when we give you the starting point for 2024, you're going to say, wow, that Herschel Walker race or Raphael Warnock race is going to be part of that number. Same thing in 2026. So you get two election cycles where this is locked in and holds back the Republican Party if they are to lose this. It also means that there's not going to be a Republican senator in Georgia at all until, I guess what, is when it's, I guess it'll be 2026 at least, and 2028 for this particular seat. So you don't want that at all. It's just a bad, bad thing. We would really like Herschel Walker to win this race. And it's going to be tough, I will say. Let me give you some of the latest info. A new poll came out today from UMass Lowell, the poll of the Georgia runoff. Raphael Warnock, 51. Herschel Walker, 46. Now, a couple things. What that probably tells you is not that Raphael Warnock is guaranteed to win. It tells you that he has a slight advantage in this race. And we know it's going to be a close race. There's really not a huge amount of information in that poll, but that's the, I wanted to at least give it to you as the most updated piece of information that we have. Another thing to look at is are the prediction markets. Now, the prediction markets don't necessarily tell you what's going to happen. Prediction markets give you a very good summary, however, about how people, what people think is going to happen. You know what I'm saying? There's a little bit of a dynamic at work there. People can go and make money on these markets. So they're not incentivized to go the other way and say, well, I'm just going to, you know what? I just want Raphael Warnock to win. So I'm going to go buy shares of Raphael Warnock to bid the price up so everyone else thinks that Raphael Warnock is going to win. It's a pretty expensive and bad strategy. But I will tell you, the general consensus of people who look at these things, what people believe is going to happen, is that Raphael Warnock is going to win. This is what the predicted poll markets look like right now. They believe Raphael Warnock has a 90% chance to win this election. 90%. So if we do see an update, upset tomorrow from Herschel Walker, that's a big statement and would be a big deal. Now, Georgia used to always be Republicans win runoffs. I don't think Republicans lost a runoff for decades before 2020. Raphael Warnock, though, is a very well-financed candidate. He has lots of get-out-the-vote machinery behind him. Herschel Walker is a first-time candidate and has had his issues. He's you know, I like Herschel. He's been on the show a bunch of times. We've talked to him. You know, the left tries to, has been trying to blow up his campaign since the beginning. It hasn't worked. He's had a good campaign. He got to a runoff here, but it's going to be hard. One of the things that people are talking about is Brian Kemp, who's a popular governor in Georgia, won his race over Stacey Abrams, but I think it was 9. The speculation is a lot of those people, there's, I think it was over 100,000 people who voted for Brian Kemp and then didn't vote for Herschel Walker. That split, do those people bother coming out this time? Do they vote for Raphael Warnock? Maybe not, right? Maybe those people who voted for Kemp and also voted for Warnock stay home because they're not that passionate about it. Unless Herschel Walker's done a lot here to change people's minds, there might be a lot of people who came out and wanted to vote for Kemp, didn't really care about the Senate race because they weren't passionate about Walker or Warnock, and then might just stay home for this runoff. We know it's going to be a smaller voting base than the actual general election, but we don't know what the difference is going to be. So tomorrow's going to be a big day, and polls are going to be really hard. They're always rough. If you think it's hard to poll the general election, it's a lot harder to poll a runoff. So we will see what happens tomorrow. What's fascinating about this, though, is this is the first sort of election cycle we've seen with the new Georgia voting law. And if you remember going back in history a little bit, you remember Joe Biden called the law Jim Crow 2.0. You might remember Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta. Now, as far as I understand, and I have never been a resident of Georgia, so I may have this wrong, but my understanding is the Atlanta Braves don't make the laws. I don't know if that's the way it works there. It's the way it works here. I don't think the Texas Rangers have all that much to do with the law. The Houston Astros, they like to bend the rules at times. I don't think they necessarily make laws, though, for the state of Texas. I could be wrong on that. If anyone wants to correct me in the comments, I'm happy to go through that. But the bottom line here is that for some reason, everyone was convinced that this was going to oppress voters. It was going to make it impossible for people to vote. Minorities could, how could they possibly ever vote? They don't have IDs. Minorities don't have IDs. This was the case from Democrats. Democrats were saying, hey, our voters aren't smart enough to figure out how to vote. Come on, they can't do this. This is unfair. I found it to be incredibly insulting. And let me also state racist. If you're saying, let me assign a negative characteristic, in this case, stupidity, to African Americans who can't seem to be able to get voter ID, if you're going to do that, that makes you a racist. That's what racism is, assigning negative characteristics to a group simply based on some unchangeable attribute. That's racism to me. Now, I know racism today means treating black and white people the same. I think that's now racism, so I can't keep track of what it means today. But to me, in my old-timey think, it means, assigning negative characteristics to people for their skin color or, their heritage or whatever else you want to assign there. Some unchangeable attribute that they have. Assigning a negative characteristic based solely on that is the sort of definition of racism? I don't know. It seems weird to even say these days. I shouldn't even have to say it. It's been said so many times. It's certainly the definition I grew up with. And now we're at this point where the left is saying, well, we don't think minorities can figure out basic civic duties because I guess they're not smart enough to do that. So we're going to see a massive voter drop off and no one's going to be able to vote and all of these other things. Well, of course, that didn't happen, right? We saw almost record turnout. We saw incredibly high turnouts for these elections, either number one or, depending on how you measure this, number one or number two all time when it comes to a midterm election. Early vote was as high as we've ever seen it. I mean, it's really these incredible things happened in the election, and it just shot to hell the narrative of the left. Well, the left doesn't like to do this. They don't like to accept when their narratives get destroyed. So they try to come up with some ridiculous argument, some ridiculous fallback to try to gaslight the other side, get them pissed off, start up the anger so that at least their base will side with them. At least they can suck those people back in, and those people don't have time to sit back and say, oh, gosh, maybe that narrative they were painting that whole time was totally wrong. I mean, at some point, does Major League Baseball apologize to the state of Georgia when none of these horror shows actually happened? Well, here's a new spin on the Georgia situation as they gaslight the Georgia elections. Turnout was strong in Georgia. They have to lead with that. But mail voting plummets after the new law. Now, was the goal of all of these changes in voting during the pandemic, was the goal to make people vote by mail more often? Or was it to give more access and make it easier for people to vote generally? Does it matter if instead of voting from home or by mail, they decided to go to the polls and vote there? If Georgia, even as they point out, turnout was strong in Georgia, does it make sense to whine that actually, yes, turnout was strong, but mail voting was down? Why would that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense. Now, of course, we know what the left did. They called this law the Jim Crow of the 20th century, Jim Crow 2.0. But this is legitimately the article. I'm not even going to have to characterize this for you. I'll just read from the article and show you how ridiculous their points are. Data released by the Georgia Secretary of State show that mail voting by the state's November general election plunged by 81% from the level of the 2020 contest. While a drop was expected after the height of the pandemic, Georgia had a far greater decrease than any other state with competitive statewide races. Now, we'll get to that second point here in a second, but burying the idea that the last election happened when everyone was mildly convinced around the country, especially in blue states, but even in red states at this point, this is 2020, remember, people were kind of convinced that they might go to the polls and die. They didn't want to catch COVID at the polls. So people were staying home and they were voting by mail. This happened all across the country. As we remember, we don't need to rehash all the law changes that happened leading up to the election and their possible effects on that turnout. But of course, more people voted in person this time. The pandemic isn't nearly as big an issue. You've probably either had COVID or you have a treatment you're comfortable with at this point. So what is the case here? Now, their case is that it fell off by a higher percent, not overall turnout, by the way. They're not saying that turnout, it wasn't that fewer people voted, it's just that fewer people voted from the comfort of their home by mail than some of these other states in competitive races. Why the hell would that matter? In fact, I'll go the other way. It should be encouraged for you to go to the polls. That should be encouraged in this country. I am a person who has happened to work every single election you can remember, probably in the last 20 years. So I voted absentee a lot of times. Many times I've been out of state during the election on election day. So absentee voting has a role. It has a sensible role for people. It makes sense that it should be an option. I believe you should have to ask for an absentee ballot. It shouldn't just be sent to your house. But you should, if you have an excuse, if you have a reason why you can't make it to the polls that day, we want to make it easy. We know this from military members who are serving overseas. They shouldn't be left out of the election process. Of course, they should be able to vote by mail. We're not saying we're against voting by mail, but it's not something that you want to be the number one option like many of these states, particularly out west, are now doing. We're just going to send it to everybody and everybody vote by mail. Well, can we get some eyeballs on people? Can we at least know they're real people, that their husband isn't just filling out their ballot, that their wife isn't just filling out their ballot after their husband's dead? Who God only knows what's going on with some of these ballots? And it's a real problem to sort through. It certainly opens up the process to fraud. And anyone, whether you think we have widespread fraud or not, the bottom line is we shouldn't wait until we have widespread fraud to look at areas that are potentially exploitable for people who do want to commit it. I mean, it's just common sense here. So, yes, the mail-in voting was down, but the turnout was not. In fact, it's one of the highest turnout elections in the history of the state. People got to the polls. What's fascinating is the justification for this from the New York Times. They say this year, after mostly a smooth and high turnout general election under the new rules, both sides saw validation in their arguments. What are you talking about? Well, the one argument was saying no one would show up to the polls. Minorities wouldn't be able to figure it out. We're going to have oppression all over the state. And the other side was saying people will wind up figuring this out, no problem, and they'll vote. People wound up getting to the polls, having no problem in voting, and you're saying one side, both sides are justified in their arguments? That's not true. The conservative side was fully justified. People were able to go out and get their votes in. The numbers were great. That is it, period. That's the entire story. Now, the left's argument, they're saying, is that Democrats and civil rights groups argue that their sprawling voter education and mobilization efforts had helped people overcome the new hurdles. Yeah, because we've never seen an election before where Democrats got out the vote. That's never been a part of their strategy until Georgia this time. This is just nonsense. And by the way, they lost the gubernatorial race by 9 points. So how good was their get out to vote campaign? People just got out to vote because they cared about voting, and they cared about voting apparently for Brian Kemp instead of Stacey Abrams. Kemp, by the way, was on Fox News. He said, under this new legislation, we just had the third highest voter turnout for early voting in our state's history. This is 2 days before the general election. He said, quote, so it's truly easy to vote and hard to cheat here. That's the goal. Make it easy to vote. Of course, we want people to participate, particularly people who actually, I don't know, pay freaking attention from time to time. Those people should come out and vote. If you haven't thought about it for the other 364 days of the year, then you know what? Don't bother. We don't need your opinion. If you don't know anything about the subject matter at hand, don't feel like you have a civic duty to go vote. Your civic duty is not just voting on Election Day. It's knowing something before Election Day. That's why we always say, learn, then vote. The order is important. You need to learn something, then you go to the polls and vote. That's really important. LearnThenVote.com. If you want to get that merch, by the way, you could use Stu20 there if you wanted to. Also, in the New York Times story, turnout data suggests that a large majority of people who voted by mail in 2020 found another way to cast their ballots this year, turning to in-person voting either early or Election Day. Yes, it's still a hell of a lot easier to vote in Georgia than it is in Delaware, the president's home state, and so many other blue states. This is the reality of the situation. And the left is going to try to gaslight you. They're going to try to get you all pissed off about it. They're going to try to make you sound like me today, which you shouldn't do. You should never sound like me. You should have higher standards than that. You should take care of yourself. Think more of yourself than to sound like me, whining and yet ranting at the camera over and over again to sit here and talk about an election that actually went really, really well when it comes to voter turnout. This law had none of the effects, none of the effects that the left predicted, and they're still trying to take credit for it. They're trying to say it justifies their position even more. I'm not going to fall for it. You're not going to fall for it. But I got to tell you, a lot of people are. And that is a major problem. Coming up next in just a couple of minutes, we have a major announcement from Chad Prather, our own Chad Prather, who's going to join us and give us an update on this Friday's Power Hour. If you want to join us in studio, if you want to watch it, StuDoesPowerHour.com. We're only 5 days away from fundamentally screwing up several of my organs. And I just mentioned Chad Prather. He's coming up here in a second. And he's been looking, I got to ask him about this. He's been looking pretty good. I've noticed him walking around the studios here. Seems like he's dropped a few. Seems like he's got some pep in his step. I want to ask, maybe he's doing the tart cherry gummies thing we've been talking about. The tart cherry gummies thing from Super Beats. They're Super Beats heart chews. They make an easy way to reduce inflammation from exercise. And he looks like a guy. Is he going to the gym? I don't know. We'll have to ask him. I have to ask him what he's doing. Your metabolic health is important. You need to support that. And that's why these gummies are made with a clinically studied tart cherry extract that's up to 40 times more concentrated than many of the others on the market. That means you're getting the antioxidant equivalent of 16 ounces of tart cherry juice. Now, I got to be honest with you. I like cherries a lot. They're freaking good. They flavor almost everything, make them delicious. I'm not going to drink 16 ounces of cherry juice. I don't think that's possible. These things, however, are delicious and they're quick. They have all the things that you want. They're vegan, they're non-GMO, they have zero sugar. They're healthy for you. They make you feel better. And they were led by a bunch of scientists, including a Nobel Prize winning doctor. Tart Cherry has been clinically studied to support metabolic health. And they come with 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can try them risk-free for up to 90 days and see how you feel. If you don't love them, you send them back, no questions asked, but you're going to love them. Right now, you can get 35% off Tart Cherry gummies plus free shipping at mytartcherry.com/stew. This is the best offer available anywhere. mytartcherry.com/stew. Get up to 35% off right now. mytartcherry.com/stew for Tart Cherry gummies.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
You know, about 3 weeks after the show started, a global pandemic broke out. It's true. Yet this is the first tragedy that I ever have to announce on this show. The first true tragedy this Friday coming up is Power Hour. It's the Christmas party Power Hour. And it will be the first Power Hour without Chad Prather, host, of course, of the Chad Prather Show right here on Blaze TV. However, Chad joins us right now. Chad, welcome.
And I'm not drunk either. I know. Every time I'm on this set, I tend to be drunk.
That is usually the way you do
it. Yeah. No, I hate
this
to miss
sad.
It.
It's sad. You can't. You have a good reason to not be here.
Yes. You're actually doing it on my 50th birthday. So
what better way to celebrate than the Power Hour?
I agree, but I'm already going to be out of town. And when they sent me the invitation for it, I looked for every possible way to get back in for your stupid show. And here we are. So I'll have to get drunk elsewhere.
Uh-huh. In honor.
You just think about you guys.
I did want to request either a call-in or a video to submit.
I bet we could do something.
So think about that a little bit.
I bet we can make that happen. I honest to God, though, that's one of my favorite things I get to do around here. And trust me, there's not a lot of favorites that happen here.
It's not like a competition for the favorite slot, but I do appreciate
But at this point, you guys are just having Power Hour to be having Power Hour. It's like Christmas. Let's just do it for a pagan holiday. Why not? You know, whatever, Festivus, let's get hammered for that.
Let's do it.
I love it. It's great.
So it is your 50th birthday on Friday.
50.
December 9th. It's a big one.
50. I'm half 100. I am half 100. And people keep saying, are you going to do anything special? No. On the 10th, we're going to do a show in Spring, Texas, comedy show. That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's going to be my 50th birthday bash show down in Spring, Texas at a place called Dosi-Dos, an incredible venue. And I'm going to tell stories never told before on stage.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm going to record it just in case.
I mean, you made 50 good years. Why not blow it
just
all?
Just blow it all
after this.
You know, in this age and day and age, you don't have to say much.
No.
Ask Kanye, which he said a lot.
He said a lot.
He doubled down on the insanity.
Yeah, yeah. So the Kanye thing's interesting because, he's always been unstable. I've been saying this forever. The man is insane. He's been insane since day one. He put the red hat on, and we might have agreed with him on abortion, but he was still insane overall, and he remains insane to this day.
Yeah.
But, like, I think people want to believe he's having this conversion, whether it's through faith or whether it's through politics or whatever. And, I unfortunately, the conversion is not all that positive.
So anybody that watches the show, you hear me talk about my definition of mental health. The way you measure mental health is how well you grasp reality. Mm. He's way off the reservation.
That's an incredible definition of that.
He's way off the reservation on that. Mm. He has no grasp of reality whatsoever. And there's no possible way that anyone who has lived a Kanye West type of life is going to have a grasp on reality.
Yeah.
So he's already got that against him. So whatever bipolar dysfunction is happening in his brain, there's no question. He's not having an epiphany. He's not having an awakening. There's none of that that's going on and transpiring as I could see it. And he really doubled down on the Alex Jones thing. I mean, there's no coming back from that.
I don't think there is, right?
No, you can't. I mean,
no. I'm fine with that, honestly, but there is no coming back from saying like Hitler.
You know, like 2 weeks ago, whatever, I put on Twitter that he was welcome to come on my show. Of course, that's me being me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, never mind. Forget it. Like, I'm like, I won't even ask you a question. You say whatever you want to say. This was after he walked off a Tim Pool show. And I'm like, I won't even ask you a question. Just say what you want to say. I want to go into the inner recesses of your mind. Now, not so much.
Yeah, it's a dark place. And I don't think there's anything darker from where he is.
No.
And I'm with you in that, like, I don't want to have everybody banned who say terrible things. Like, I want to know who they are. Mm-hmm. I want to know what they believe. You know, I think that's better for us to have that information, especially, and while it's still a joke candidacy, the man is running for president of the United States. He already ran once.
And some people will vote for him.
Right. And we better know what he believes if he's running for president.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to try to never hear from him. But, like, there is a line here where, like, there's just nothing left of value to hear.
No. No, and, you know, he's built some reasonably, certifiably insane people around him as well.
Yes.
People I wouldn't want to be associated with. The Nick Fuentes comes to mind. You know, that guy, he's way gone.
It seems like they're taking advantage of his fame.
One would think.
They're not going to be in the spotlight without Kanye West, and Kanye West gives him that path to the spotlight.
Yeah, and I'll talk about him because he's not here, Alex Stein. Alex Stein had an opportunity to go meet with Kanye, and I said, don't do it. You're wasting a plane trip. Why are you going to go? He's going to get pissed off within the first 30 seconds you're there, and you're going to troll him anyway.
Right.
So what's the point? You're wasting a plane ticket. So if you see Alex Stein with yay, that was against my better interest and judgment.
Are you advising Alex Stein? Because he needs someone
to
advise
him.
That's definitely
true. He does not listen.
No, he does not listen. I think it's interesting where you look at his history in that, like, here's a guy who runs out on stage with Taylor Swift and, like, takes over the Oscars or the Grammys.
Grammy, yeah.
And ruins her moment in the sun and is rewarded for that behavior. He goes off script at the Hurricane Katrina thing and says, George Bush doesn't care about black people. He's rewarded with that behavior from the left and all these. Mm-hmm. He's called a hero over and over and over again, a genius, all of these things. He marries a Kardashian. He's a billionaire. He's an icon.
Mm-hmm.
All of this behavior, this entire time, even when it's been completely off the rails, has been rewarded over and over and over and over again. And does he feel invincible? I mean, his comments after this where he was saying, I can say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't get rid of me. That's somebody who thinks they're invincible, and that's somebody who's dangerous.
Yeah, here's the problem we have when you get somebody that, as you said, an icon, somebody that gets to that level. They get above accountability. They get above, they've never had to deal with any judgment because everything gets swept under the rug. You just keep going. You can do all the crazy stuff in the world, and trust me, the people in that world of the elites, they do some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets hidden, right? The Balenciaga thing, it's swept under the rug. They've gotten away with it for so long, they think they could just say anything. They're untouchable at this point. But he's finding out. And, hey, kudos to Taylor Swift for playing the long game. She's finally getting some vindication after, 15 years?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she's won this one, I think.
She finally got the come around.
Yeah, she's going to take down Ticketmaster for not being able to sell millions and millions of her tickets. Like, this is, she's definitely on the right side of that battle. Let me ask you this. You're an icon in your own right.
In my own mind.
In your own mind.
Yeah, I have my OnlyFans. I am my only fan.
you're 50 years old. It's very soon.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned? In his first 50.
The first 50. I think that all of us have our elements of crazy. You know, I wrote a book called Am I Crazy? Mm-hmm. If you haven't gotten it, go get it. I wrote a book called Am I Crazy? And the answer is definitively yes. We all are. We're all somewhere on that insanity spectrum. And we probably, you know, deserve some form of shock therapy. But now we're just trying to balance out all the insanity, right? Who's crazier than everybody else? And my thing is, I just look at the world around us, whether it's the government, social media, big media, whatever. They're trying to change reality so that people like me and you that have some common sense, we look crazy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So to the degree that the you know, the mainstream tells you that this is the truth, this is, we're in a my truth, your truth generation. There's no longer objective truth. It's a postmodern society. Everything is real if you make it that way in your mind. So at the end of the day, this is why they're going to line us up for the train cars one day.
Wait, so we got back to the Holocaust.
Well, 100%. This is 1984 George Orwell. I hold up my hand. Okay. Is there five fingers or six? The state says you better say there's six. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've created that reality, and we're the ones who have to adhere to it now. It's very problematic. We saw it. And listen, we succumbed to it for 2 years during the pandemic.
Mm. I mean, it does feel like we're there, right? Like, the Balenciaga thing is one thing where I guess there has been a little bit of outrage about that, but not what you'd expect.
No.
We're constantly told we have to say that women are men and men are women. We're told that, I guess, we're supposed to now approve of drag shows for kids. Like, right. You know, it's one, drag shows have been around for a while. I mean, you're in the entertainment industry. There's a lot of weird crap out there to entertain people. But when did it become a priority to read to children in drag? What is that? That's a totally new thing.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. That's a perfect example of something that's already gone on for a long time, but it's been in the shadows and in the secrets. Now they're bringing it out because, again, even that, quote, community has gotten above reproach and above accountability, and nobody's going to correct them, because if you do that, then you are a part of the hate, right? So I just say my standard now at 50 years old, like, I've lived a long time. If I die tomorrow, I've done a lot of stuff in life. I'm not going to pet your unicorn. I'm just not. I'm not going to go find your Pokemon. I don't care how much is in your bank account, how much you're trying to make the world believe you're successful by your outward appearance, what your girlfriend looks like, or what car you're driving. Stu with a Cadillac. But that he waited for 16 months to get. But I'm not going to pet your unicorn. I'm done with all of that stuff. I'm going to call it the way I see it, you know, and everybody knows it. Rachel Levine is a dude. Everybody knows it. They may not say it out loud, but everybody knows it.
They do know it. And you know what? What I think an important thing for all of us to realize is that the left knows it too.
They do.
They all know it. They all, in their hearts and minds, they actually know it.
They wouldn't have to keep justifying it. Yeah. They wouldn't have to keep telling you that I'm holding up six fingers. That's exactly what they do, though. And then you got the TikTokers that get on there and, oh my God, I'm living this hard life of having to tell people what my gender is. No, we know what your gender is. You're trying to get us to pet your unicorn. And there's not one there. You're literally Harvey. Harvey the rabbit is over your shoulder, and you're asking us to be okay with that. And we're not, because that's not reality.
Yeah, that's not right. Now, you mentioned outward appearance. You're looking great these days.
I've lost like 25 pounds.
25 pounds? What are you doing? What's the secret?
No carbs. Pretty much carnivore. I'm the anti-Stew. I'm living off of ribeye. Sarah Gonzalez, because I go, God, my diet is so boring. She goes, imagine being so privileged in America that you complain about eating ribeyes every day. And I may have a heart attack here pretty soon. I don't know. But keto, paleo-ish, carnivore, kind of a mix of all of that stuff. But no carbs. For like 6 weeks now.
Really? Just 6 weeks? And you lost how much?
6 weeks. About 25 pounds.
Wow.
Just shy of 25 pounds.
That's incredible.
It peeled off. There's a lot of me there.
Is this one of those things, is this sustainable for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be. It's got to be, because
I
don't miss the carbs. I don't miss it. I'm not going to stay where as strict as I am. I'm going to find a balance on that with some more paleo kind of stuff. And people are sick of me talking about this because nobody cares about your diet. But
I think
everybody
cares about being a fat ass. No one wants to be a fat ass. They want to find their path out of it. It's hard.
Well, I live with pain, right? Chronic pain, inflammation in my elbows, arthritis, gout in my ankles. And 2 days of eating like that, it was gone. So that for me was a conversion experience. That was my Kanye moment. My eyes were open. That just
don't
consuming,
have a Kanye moment, please.
Consuming fat just made me feel better.
Yeah.
And it made a huge difference. So, yeah, for me, it's going to be sustainable because I've lived with chronic pain for so long. And people have seen me on my crutches. They've seen me hobbling around and trying to make it. And I'm not ready to slow down yet. So I feel better than I felt in years. I mean, no more lethargy, no more, you know, dragging around and moping and stuff like that.
We're about the same age, a few years difference.
Yeah.
And I've entered that part where I've realized that legitimately the dumb stereotype is true.
Yeah.
Every conversation I have with my friends now winds up being about like what pills I'm taking, what medicines I'm taking, how I'm eating. Like it all winds up being health. When did this start? Why does it have to happen?
I can still, at 50, I can still do all the things I used to do. I just have different results. Like I can masturbate, but it gives me heartburn. You know, like that's a new. I didn't expect that.
Why?
You know,
I don't know. That's not. You know, things are. There's no science behind it.
Things
that.
Are falling apart. They're not quite falling off yet. And I don't know what age we start breaking hips, but it's got to be soon. So I'm trying to be careful.
It's got to be soon.
Yeah,
it is soon. Okay. I mean, this is probably a good reason.
Let's sell my crap, Stu. Let's do this. We're doing the Merchapalooza.
Yes.
I got Big Nick Energy right here for Christmas. You know, of course, Stu's going to tell you to buy his crap. You can still use promo code CHAD20. It's not good politics to come onto your show and use my promo code, but you win this thing all the time.
You got great merch, man. What is it, Big Nick Energy? Show
Big Nick Energy. Look great. At this thing. They came up with this deal. I tossed that over to them. And when I first read it, I said, it looks like Big Nick Fuentes. And I was like, that's not going to work.
No.
No. Big Nick Energy. Look at Santa right there. No, we got some fun stuff.
It's hard.
I love doing this every year, though.
Yeah. No, we do a little merch war. You can do, what's it, Stu20, I guess, Stu20. For my stuff.
Yep.
Stu does merch for my stuff. And
Chad on Blaze.
You can't do. They're always like, just say shop.blazemedia.com. It's like no one's going to be able to go. Yeah. No one's going to do that.
No, I was doing. You can still go to chadnude.com and subscribe to the Blaze. That still works, but you can't put that on social media. They cancel it out. Apparently, that's against their whatever. Their
really?
Fine print. You can't say Chad.
They'll let Kanye go crazy, but they don't want Chad Nude.
Nude.com.
No, they don't want that out there. Okay. Yeah. Hey, Chad, we're really going to miss you.
I'm going to miss being here.
At the Power Hour. Next one, you'll be in.
I'll never miss another one.
Okay. All right. You've heard the promise right here. Chad Prather, host of the Chad Prather Show, right here on Blaze TV. Make sure to check out the podcast, of course, and subscribe and buy the Big Nick Energy. It's okay. Even if you use Chad 20, I won't feel bad.
You can
about
buy
it.
Big Nick Energy and still use Stu 20.
Okay. Either what?
It's
of those
a weird
two?
Connection, but yes. it's symbiotic.
Make it work. You'll still get your 20% off. Chad, thanks for coming on, man. You know, buying or selling a home is already one of the most stressful things you can do. I want to use the promo codes when you're in real estate transactions. Just be like, when you're signing, just put like Stu20 next to it and get 20% off the house.
That'll work.
I don't know. Give it a whirl. Give it a shot. Maybe Chad20 will work. I don't know. Generally speaking, though, of course, our homes are our biggest investment, and that's a lot of responsibility. You need a real estate agent that doesn't suck. You don't want the worst real estate agent in town just because you happen to be related to them or you met them in a coffee shop somewhere. Don't do that. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. They're screened. They have the best results. The team has gone through all the people in your area and made sure they get the best people on this site. So check it out. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. It's a free service to you. Give them some basic info and they'll contact you to make an introduction to the best agent in your town. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. He spent a glorious 3 to 6 month period as one of the most popular people on television. He was beloved by liberals everywhere. In fact, he almost, I mean, should he be the favorite to be president of the United States? I don't know. They wanted to run him for president, but now he's going to prison. Michael Avenatti is going to prison. Sentenced to 14 years in prison for stealing millions of dollars from his clients. And he did such a terrible job that, like, I mean, just that should be enough to put him in prison. He was a really bad attorney for all of his clients as well, but also was stealing millions of dollars. And people don't, this is something I've noticed in the past, people don't generally like that. If you take millions of dollars that isn't yours, people don't generally like that. Now, I do have a story here that I don't think I'm going to be able to get to today about Maxine Waters and her review of the FTX founder of Sam Bankman-Fried's interviews, saying he was candid and thanked him for, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for talking in a bunch of web interviews and to the New York Times and to George Stephanopoulos and to random bloggers. We really appreciate you doing that. Yeah, I know you stole a few billion dollars, but don't worry about that. Come hang out in Congress. We'll treat you with the kid gloves that you deserve. I guess Maxine got a bunch of cash from him. I don't know. What's the reason for this? Anyway, it's not a normally people don't like you stealing millions. Maybe they don't mind stealing billions. Maybe that's the rule. I don't know. By the way, we should also mention Donald Trump, who put out this this bizarre truth, I guess. Is it truth? On Truth Social, put out this thing about how he said a massive fraud of this type, talking about his election defeat in 2020, and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Trying to go. I mean, this is a rule I've had for a little while. You know, just like the rule of like people don't like you when you steal millions of dollars. This is another rule I have. I generally speaking don't think we should terminate the Constitution. It's my own thing. The primary is going to be the primary, what the primary is. People in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina are going to make all the decisions for the rest of us. Or in Texas, I have really no piece in the puzzle, to be perfectly honest about it. So who knows what's going to happen in the election. But it is probably important to make part of the consideration of who you vote for, whether they want to terminate the Constitution or not. Just a piece of advice. Now, he is coming back today and saying, no, that's not what I meant. I'm not going to terminate it. That's lies from the media. I mean, I just read you a quote. That is what he said. Look, he's not the most precise speaker, so maybe that's not what he meant. But I don't know if he's going to make his entire campaign about what happened in 2020, whether he's right or wrong about it. The bottom line is, I don't think that's going to win him this primary. And the sooner he realizes that, if you want Donald Trump to be president, I think the better. Because I just do not think this is going to serve him well in the primary. A lot of people in the primary voting audience agree with him on his points about 2020. But they don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, we've passed it. You know, fix the problem when you get in office. You know, come up with a plan to secure elections. That's all great. But if what this is going to be is constantly talking about 2020, I don't think it's a winning path for Donald Trump in the primary. We'll see what happens here in the next couple of, good God, years. Grip 6 is a great company in Utah. Now, they make a bunch of different stuff. They make great socks, they make great wallets, and they make fashionable and customizable belts. These are minimalist, they're totally customizable. They have like laser etched designs you can put on there, logos, flags, all sorts of cool stuff. You can make your belt your own. Also, they have carbon fiber belts, so you're not setting off metal detectors at the airport. And this is a company that doesn't despise you. That's... Isn't that a weird thing you have to say about a company? The company that would like you to spend your hard-earned money with them does not despise you. Well, that's the truth, and that's the thing with Grip 6. They're a small company in Utah, but they sell all over the world, and they source everything right here in America. And they love America. They love this country. Grip6.com/stew is the place to go. See their whole lineup. See what you like. I think you're really going to like this stuff. And the wallets in particular, if you've never had a Grip 6 wallet, you're really going to like it. It's a totally different approach to the wallet. It's just something cool. Check it out. See it for yourself. Grip6.com/stew. Save 15% off if you use the code stew. Grip6.com/stew. Get 15% off today with the promo code stew. So after 700 days of not playing, Deshaun Watson came back to the NFL this weekend. Had a tough, tough game. It was not pretty. I will say, now look, he was off for almost two full years, so you wouldn't expect him to be at his most sharp, but it looked pretty rough, honestly, out there. I'm sure he'll improve over time, but the Browns now, of course, still won the game because they were playing the Houston Texans, which are, you know, pretty much, at this point, automatic. It does not seem like they're actually trying to win games at this point, but they turned the ball over a bunch of times, and the Texans did lose 27-14. Look, there's going to be a lot of rust when you have this sort of situation. I think, now, my understanding of this contract is it's fully guaranteed. And $230 million for Deshaun Watson, which is incredible. $230 million, 5 years. I, first of all, need that contract. But secondly, he should just try to get thrown off the team and just collect the money at this point. He should have come out after the game and just be like, look, I was really rusty. I can't get any massages. I'm going to go get like 5 or 6 tonight. And we're going to see how that goes. And then I'm sure I'll feel much, much better next time. Just go down that route. Then you get thrown off the team. And then you don't have to work, and you still get the $230 million. This, Jeffy told me to say that, I promise. That was a Jeffy approach to employment. But I will say, you know, it's interesting to see this happen, because you give somebody $230 million, you hope they don't look like, you know, really, really like maybe one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. He's got so much talent, eventually I'm sure he'll be fine. But it was a rough, rough start for Deshaun Watson. But you can take that massage line, you take that for free. And I'm sure the Cleveland Browns will appreciate it. The This is probably controversial for a conservative to say on the air, but I think you should embrace CRT. Christmas re-education training. Yes, go to ChristmasReeducationTraining.com, and there you can get the app. You can celebrate it with the lovable, huggable Christmas hero, Santifa Claus. Yes, the combination of Santa Claus and Antifa. Available now at ChristmasReeducationTraining.com or at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code STU20, get 20% off all the stuff. They have the Santifa Claus stuff. They got all of it up there. Go pick up some stuff for the holidays. It's going to be great. StuDoesMerch.com code is STU20. Also, StuDoesPowerHour.com. It's this Friday, only 5 days away from another Power Hour. Going to be a blast, and it's going to make my organs explode. So enjoy it.